Last week we took a break from the Gospel of John for Mother's Day, and today I'm taking another break to preach on this issue of the day. The title of the sermon is Male, Female, Transgender, with a question mark by that. And so our passage is the scripture, though. First Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, and then Deuteronomy 22:5. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And also Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. "A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God." The concept of being male and female used to not only be biblical, but it was considered scientific. It was considered a fact. And male and female is obviously still biblical. The Bible does not change. And actually, it's still scientific. But there's deceptions out there. There are only two genders, no matter whatever anybody else says. But today, even the Mayo Clinic. And I remember as a child, I spent 6 months in the hospital when I was like 8 years old. And I remember even as a child, I don't know how old, maybe 9 or 10, 11 years old, I knew that Mayo Clinic represented the standard for all hospitals. And today my brother works for Mayo Clinic. And he doesn't go along with this, but this is what Mayo Clinic, and this is, I have a long reading here that I, longer than I usually do in a sermon, but transgender facts, that's exactly how it is said, according to Mayo Clinic. These are not what I call facts, so I'm putting myself away from this, but this is called transgender facts by Mayo Clinic staff. Want to better understand what it means to be transgender or gender diverse? Here's an overview of the basics, along with definitions of common terms used to describe gender identity. Defining transgender. The terms transgender and gender diverse cover a range of gender identities and gender expressions. We've all heard about this, 100-something different genders or more. These terms move past the idea that all people can be classified as one or two genders, male or female. That idea is called the gender binary. And so they're moving past that old-fashioned idea. Its gender identity is the internal sense of being male, female, neither, or some combination of both. Gender expression typically involves how gender identity is shown to the outside world through the way a person looks or acts. Gender expression may include clothing, mannerisms, communication, style, and interest, among other things. You know, he's talking about more than just the transgender, but how they communicate it. And then he says, people who are transgender or gender diverse include those who have a gender identity that differs from the sex assigned to them at birth, those who have a gender expression that doesn't follow society's norms for the sex assigned to them at birth, those who identify and express their gender outside of the gender binary. And then it goes on and it says, gender identity and sexual orientation. Most people have a sense of the physical, emotional, romantic attraction to others. Sexual orientation describes the group of people to whom this attraction is directed. For example, a person may be attracted to men, women, or both, or neither. Being transgender or gender diverse isn't linked to any specific sexual orientation. The sexual orientation can't be assumed based on gender identity or gender expression, meaning a transgender man who's supposedly a woman can be attracted to a woman. That's probably why they want to go into the women's bathrooms. Understanding gender dysphoria. Gender dysphoria is a feeling of distress that can happen when a person's gender identity differs from their sex assigned at birth or from sex-related physical characteristics. Some transgender and gender diverse people experience gender dysphoria at some point in their lives. Notice that you don't say all of them are experiencing this. They're saying some. Other transgender and gender diverse people feel at ease with their bodies and their gender identities, and they don't have gender dysphoria. I would disagree with that. Diagnosis for gender dysphoria is included in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Disorders, a manual published by American Psychiatric Association. This diagnosis was created to help people with gender dysphoria get access to health care and treatment they need. It focuses on distress as the problem, not on the person's gender identity. Knowing helpful terms, and then it lists, I'm not going to read all the details on this, agender, cisgender, cross-dressing, gender fluid, gender role, gender minority stress, non-binary, and basically that's who we are according to them, sex, transgender and transgender woman, man and woman, and then he gives you where you can go for more information. The main thing I want you to see is this is something that Mayo Clinic is backing. And if Mayo Clinic is backing this, a lot of hospitals are the same. And it's somehow become this huge thing to not want to be male or female, or to push others to not be male or female, to be something else. Where does this garbage, and I don't feel bad, it's right in your outline, where does this garbage come from, and how did we get to this point? And I believe it starts with evolution, it starts with atheism, or what we call practical atheism, which is really being an atheist because you don't believe in the true and living God, even though you claim to have some religion or belief in some kind of God. A belief that God did not create us or design us with any particular goals or purposes in mind. Basically, you could say the opposite of what is stated in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, God, the Trinity, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. If we see God, a creator, we will see design. Or as a creator, we will see design in how we are made. He created us, male and female. That was his design for us. We are different as male and female. Those differences have purpose connected to them. There's a reason that one person is a male and another person is a female. Part of this is procreation, which is be fruitful and multiply. We are made so that we can do that with each other. If we do not believe in a creator or a designer, our ability to procreate or even the difference between sexes and genders, then it's an accident. If we don't believe that God designed us, then it's an accident. It's just by dumb luck that we're able to procreate. It's not a purpose. It's not a reason that we're made like we are, because we weren't made. We just happened to pop into existence, or something did, and it evolved later to become us. And so if you do not believe in God, if there really was no God, then there would be no meaning or design in anything. There wouldn't be a reason that some are male and some are female. And you'd have to question, why aren't there other genders? Because if it happened by accident, you can imagine all sorts of in-betweens. Gender or the sexes, you being one or the other, would be accidental. And if evolution was true, you'd expect no design for the differences in gender. No God means that we are our own gods and goddesses, and we can create our own identities. If there's no meaning, why not make our own meaning? And that's basically, you have two things. You have the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is the meaning of life? Or what is the chief end of man? And that is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Or you have the question, what is the meaning of life? And if there's no God, the answer is, we make up our own. We make whatever we want to be. And so there's basically two answers to that question. In our public schools today, where the teaching of the Bible, and especially God as creator, is not taught, school children are not only encouraged to question their gender, but even now their humanity. If evolution were true, we'd all be related to animals, right? Our humanity is no longer, we are created in God's image. We are different than the animals, but we are now one with the animals. They are our ancestors. They are our relatives. And so children now, and you see controversy about this because they're denying it, but you see it if you read anything about it. Children are now identifying as furries. Have you heard this? Furries? A furry is an animal, like a cat or a dog or a bird. And a child can identify like this and gets a costume. And they're being taught to have a persona, which is the personality of that animal. You know, some kids are clawing at you, they're like cats and meow. And they have a certain personality that goes with this. And does the Bible speak about such things? Yeah, I think you look at Romans 1:21 through 23, it says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. As we've moved away from God, we've moved our image of who we are away from God, then we don't know who we are, and we identify as different genders. And now they're teaching children, you know, choose your gender when you're 4 years old, 5 years old or so. Or choose if you're really a human at all. If you want to identify as an animal, you can do that. Once the website said that children were not necessarily identifying as these animals. Rather, they were fans of them. And I think that's probably true. Most children are not really thinking they're these animals, but they are fans of them. They like them. And yet fan is short for fanatic. It's interesting. I read an article in Psychology Today in preparation for this. Hal Herzog, the PhD, writes, furries are 7 times more likely than the general population to identify as transgender and 5 times more likely to identify as non-heterosexual. And so the kids are taught to be furries, and that makes them a little more open to the different genders. And then he continues writing in another part of his article. Furries are an excellent case study for the psychological principle of moral inclusion and how it relates to non-human animals. Put simply, when something is included within a person's moral domain, it is subject to their moral principles. In contrast, things excluded from that moral domain are deemed beyond moral consideration. Practically speaking, those who fall within our group tend to also fall within our moral domain, while those belonging to outgroups are less likely to gain moral consideration. In the case of furries, who spend considerable time anthropomorphizing animals, this means that many non-human animals fall within the same moral domain as people do. As such, furries are more likely than non-furries to oppose the use of non-human animals for commercial and research purposes. That's probably true. And when you think about it, though, they're more likely to abort. They're more likely to kill people. They're more likely to be cannibals, because if we eat a cow, we can eat a human. And we've seen this in certain groups. There's a church called the Church of Euthanasia. You can look them up online. I didn't put them in the bulletin, but if you look them up online, you'll see. I think they have these pillars? And their pillars are abortion, suicide, cannibalism, and I think sodomy. That's what they stand for. And why? Because they want to eliminate the human race. Not them, but everybody else. And so they believe those things. It's a religion of death. Note, this is not biblical morality, but evolutionary. We are one with the animals. Morality is in direct opposition to our being created in God's image. In Genesis 9, 3-6, it says, "Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." Notice in those verses, this is right after God had destroyed the world by the flood. And the reason that he did that was because the people were so wicked. And that's short term. He's saying here to Noah, as he's instructing Noah and his sons, his families, on how they should live from this time on, is now he's saying, you can eat whatever you want, not just the green herbs, but every living thing that moves shall be food for you. Meaning if you want to eat crab or steak, go ahead and kill that animal and eat it. Then he's also saying, for your life, brother, I will demand a reckoning from the hand of every beast. So if a beast kills a man, like an ox would kill somebody with its horns, that beast was to be killed. Or even if one man killed another man, if it can be established by, you look at the rest of the scripture, by two witnesses that this person really did kill this other person, that person should endure the death penalty. This is where we get the death penalty here. And this is where we see a distinction made between man created in God's image and the rest of creation, the animals. And the sanctity of human life ethic is what is here. By such a worldview, here in my outline I said the sanctity of human life ethic is destroyed by this furry ethic, that we're the same as the animals. By that we become same as a cow, and we're equal to meat. It either raises up the animals or it lowers us. And I think, honestly, it does both. When you see what's happening, even in our culture, even in laws that are being made, sometimes a whole plot of land is separated out so they can protect an insect. And it's laws designed to protect the animals, not just people. If the problem is atheism, the solution is the knowledge of God. Genesis 1:26. A and 27, "Then God said, you know, God is teaching there at the same time as we're reading the scripture. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. That's what we are. We don't need to look into our sexual thoughts to figure out what we are. This morning I read, and I have the article with me, about, are you attracted to women? That was the question. And I thought, well, yeah, as a man, I'm attracted to women. And then the thing says, then you are gynosexual. And it goes into this whole thing is you shouldn't be a man just attracted to a woman. That's the non-binary, and it's bad. But if you're gynosexual, that's more acceptable, because you could also be, because you could be attracted to a transsexual man that thinks he's a woman because he dresses like a woman. You should be acceptable of that. This is the kind of stuff that doesn't happen if you understand that we are created in God's image. He made us to be male and female. He made us in his image. Even the difference was the explanation, an expression of approval of the difference between the sexes. You know, there was a time when two sexes were enough. We were happy with that. But now we've got so perverted, we need all these others. Not only knowing God leads to every, not knowing God leads to every kind of immorality. Romans 1:28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. That's what's happening right now in our country. Our country is being judged. Leaders and powerful people have been given over to a debased mind, and they're doing those things that are not fitting. Here it says, it lists basically every sin, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Doesn't that describe our nation right now? When I read disobedient to parents, you'll see by the end of this sermon, they are encouraging disobedience to parents in our culture today. Number five, we are created and are being recreated in God's image in knowledge and righteousness and holiness. The New Testament tells us and teaches us about the image of God. It says, and have put on the new man, Colossians 3:10, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We are smarter than the animals. Do you know that? Hopefully most of us are. And part of that is knowledge of God. We know God. We can understand him. We can learn more and more about him. And so that is knowledge that separates us from the animals. Then also in Ephesians 4:24 it says, and you have put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Righteousness is that we ultimately have from Christ because he died on the cross. But moral righteousness also separates us from the animals. And then holiness. Holiness is that commitment only to God. We separate ourselves to him and we give ourselves to him. That's what we were created to be. At the end of this, again, that came to mind just because I saw it this morning. This gyno-sexual, they have their own flag to show how they're devoted to that kind of attraction. And we are devoted to God. If we are created by God, male and female, then there are not 100 genders. And transgender is not a reality, but an imaginary perversion of reality. It's something that doesn't really exist, as a person is not that. knowledge of God and His Word are the right way, both for individuals and his and society. As Psalm 119:105 says, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We have what we need to learn and to be what we really should be in the Scripture. Thirdly, third main point, note our entire current societal problem is due to a rejection of God and the fact that we are created in His image. Again, the same verses, Genesis 1:26-28, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over all cattle." I won't read it all again. I've read it a couple times. But note, we are created to have dominion over nature. This is the opposite of bowing down and worshiping nature. Doesn't mean that we need to destroy nature, but it doesn't. We can still care for nature, but we are not to necessarily to bow down to it. We can build skyscrapers and we can build cars and roads because God created us to have dominion over nature. Note, being created in God's image means we are separate from and higher than the animals. We are different. We were created in God's image. And in God's image, as Christians, especially when we know this, we should seek to live according to what God has shown us. And then thirdly, note that we are commanded and blessed with these words, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." Again, this is greatly hindered by children taking puberty blockers and or removing their reproductive parts, trying to be the opposite sex, or thinking we can be our own creator, or that a surgeon might recreate us. Belief also in human-caused catastrophic climate change fits nicely with the destruction of human parts. If we have less people, we're not destroying the planet, are we? That's the way they think. It all fits together. I have some pictures. You say not this many pictures in your bulletin, but you can see them. The first one is by God's design. Women and mothers typically rock the cradle. This poem by William Ross Wallace. I meant to bring it last week, but I didn't. "Woman, how divine your mission here upon the natal sod. Keep, oh, keep the young heart open, oh, always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from mother love impearled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women. Fathers, sons, and daughters cry. And the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky. Mingles where no tempest darkens, rainbows evermore are hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." As mothers are called to lead their children to praise the Lord. That's what is right and normal. But today others are seeking to rock the cradle job. You know, the drag queen story hour is everywhere now. And why is this? Well, they want to rock the cradle. Have you all heard of glitter families? Have you heard of this at all? Some of you have. This is actually the words by Rachel McKinnon. I'm sure Rachel is actually a man, but she's a self-professed glitter mom who considers herself to know what's best for your kids. Here's what she writes. "I want you to know that it's okay to walk away from unsupportive or disrespectful or even abusive parents. And I want to give you hope that you can find what we call your glitter family, your queer family. We are out there. And the relationships we make in our glitter families are just as real and just as meaningful as our blood families." They are out there, these glitter families. When these men dressed up as women, drag queens, do their story hour, it's not just to entertain. They have a goal. And that is to take your children from you. Take your grandchildren from their parents. And when they do this, they have support from Mayo Clinic. from hospitals, everybody who believes in this, from the schools, the public school will take their side. And there have been, and this is happening right now, there are families that have lost their children to glitter families. It's not a little thing that's over in a corner here in California. It's all over the country. And what's that?
Not legal adoption, right?
I don't know if it's considered legal or not. They can take them, and if they can convince that child to come with them, they already have the school on their side, because the school invites these people in. And then they, if the parent goes to the hospital and says this is not right, or goes anywhere else, the law, in at least in a lot of states, not so much in Florida, is going to back the glitter family. Because some of the families that have lost their children have died, and after they were taken. So they change their sex, different things. Look up if you want online. There's a song called "We'll Convert Your Children" by the San Francisco Gay Choir. This picture in the last page is from a school in Atlanta. Does it look like a homemade teacher-made poster, or does it look like it was mass-produced? Some people are trans. Get over it. That's what's in the schools. It may be in many classrooms. And this is the world we're living in today. How do we fight this? Well, the main way of fighting it, I think, is to teach people about God. That we have a God. That we are created in God's image. That we were created in God's image in knowledge and righteousness and holiness. One of the things that is being taught against is just that. Where they're saying, we're not created male and female in God's image. We can make ourselves be whatever we want to be. If you want to be an animal, you can be an animal. If you want to be a girl when you're a boy, or a boy when you're a girl, you can do that. There is a young child named Jazz. I don't know if you've ever heard of Jazz. Jazz, like Jess. Is it Jazz James, the last name? Yes. I ordered the book, not because I like the book, or I'm definitely not recommending it. I just wanted you to see, this is what is brought and used to teach children. And Jazz, this is a boy that's been made into a girl. And she's famous. She's probably rich. Her parents are probably rich because so many people are fans of this. But she had her, you know, as a very young child, even before, I think before close to puberty, started taking the drugs that keep puberty from happening. And when she got to the point, or he's actually a boy, I shouldn't say she, but she calls her, he calls herself she. When she got to the point where they were doing this surgery to take away the penis and make a full vagina, they didn't have enough material there because of what the drugs had done. And the surgery was horrible. Her body was falling apart, and there was great pains and stuff like this. But I guess they made up for that by making her famous and giving her money and her parents' money. And so she's out there, and she has a book about herself. And this one explains what it's like. You see, this picture looks like a girl, right? And they've made her, at least so far, look like a girl. Supposedly she's hoping, when she grows a little older, to have children. It's not going to happen. God has given us these things. We are male and female. And so today, a little bit off the normal course, but we were created male and female in God's image. And we need to promote that and make it known who we are. We are not animals. We were created male and female. There's no in-betweens. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you're a God who does wonderful things, amazing things, and that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And Father, in line of what's going on in our society, we pray for that. We would pray for revival. We would pray for a turnaround. We see in our culture that even some people who maybe they're not Christians, they're not exactly going this far either. And so, Father, we pray that some of those, or many of those, might come to know you and see the difference, and that we might be witnesses to them. And, Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 355. We are God's people. That's who we are. Please stand as we sing number 355. And I'm forgetting I need to...